Blog Talk Radio.
Malcolm X. A song for the ancestors, brothers and sisters who paved the way. Lit the day, we owe them so much that it's impossible for us to pay. Let me say, what we must do is illuminate the path for those who are to come. And then our name will be called in the words of some future song.
A tribute.
Their seed and their spawn, they're the progenitors of humanity. They named the moon and the dawn. What we must do is understand the divine role we are to play, and our children will love us, and our names they will gladly claim in tribute. Lit the day, we owe them so much that it's impossible for us to pay. Let me say, what we must learn is illuminate the path for those who are to come. And then our name will be called in the words of some future song of tribute. Yeah,
George,
this is a piece for the ancestors, brothers and sisters who've been here and gone. Face down the oppression so that our role could be lessened, who helped us to know that we are a part of the chain of life, and we owe to our children the same thing. We need to be children the same stand on, and if we live our lives correctly, we will be blessed to one day be called ancestors. This is a verbal libation.
Yes, whose names we do not know. Habaragani, Hotep, Assalamu Alaikum, Shalom Aleikum, and all those beautiful words of peace. I'm your host, Brother Derek Jabril, and you're listening to The Narrative. How is everyone today? Today is October the 3rd, 2020. We're beginning a new month. And I want to go right into our program today because we have special guests here with us today. We have the family of one of our brothers who passed on September the 17th, 2021. And our brother that many of us would know here, especially in the Houston Marks 45 region, was assistant minister Mitchell Muhammad. And we're going to pay tribute to our brother, as well as open up the phone lines. And also online, for those of you who are listening to us online, you can go and type in your message in our chat line, and you will see it on the front page on our front page, and you can access and you can type in whatever message you would like for the family to receive, and I will read them live on air. And the call-in number today is area code 914-205-5519. That's 914-205-5519. And we're going to be taking your calls today. And it's a blessing that we have the family with us. And for what I understand, his family is also listening to us out there in California. I want to say a great hello to you and thank you for tuning in. And let me go to my co-host, Brother Wiley Muhammad, and open up his mic. Brother Wiley, are you here with me today, sir?
Yes, sir, brother, I am.
All right. As-salamu alaykum, sir.
Walaykum salam.
Yes, sir. We're gonna preempt our show because the regular listeners have been listening in. We've been with our series on let's talk about us, you know, and we're dealing with business warfare and mating. Our last installment would have been today, which is on mating. And we're going to talk about that next week, next Sunday. So you all return back next Sunday, and I'll make sure we're going to do that show. Plus, I have another show that I want to do for the believers in Mark 45, because we have a rich history here, and I want that history to be recorded within the nation's history. And I'm going to see if I can invite the nation's historian, Brother Carlos Muhammad, to be with us on that day. And I'm going to have all the believers, we're going to put the word out there to call in and share the beginnings of March 45, which we're going to talk about today, because Brother Mitchell played a very significant role in that beginning. So I'm going to open up, I got to open up his brother and sister's mic or phone here. And let's see, give me a second here, everybody. Let's see, let's see. Brother Kerry, can you hear me, brother?
I can hear you fine.
All right,
yes,
right,
yes,
good.
Fine.
Good, and let me find your sister's number here, so I can open her up as well. Okay. Sister Stacy? Hello? Let's see. Brother, let's see.
I know she's on the line.
Right. Okay, we'll get on. Let's see. I'm looking at. Okay,
hold on a second. Yeah.
She's 1965. I got her. I got her. All right, Sister Stacy. Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Hey, how are you, sister? Yes, we have you. You know, yes, ma'am. It is a pleasure to have you and your brother on with us this afternoon to share some insights and you know, little stories concerning our brother, Brother Mitchell. So you all knew him well because y'all was in the home with him. Y'all seen him when he was in elementary, you know, school and teenager, you know, in middle school. So, you know, we want to pay homage to our brother today and show our respects and also to share a little things that we know about him with your family. You know, because what we know about brother from when we met him, you know, brother, he became a former minister, assistant minister in the nation under then Robert Muhammad, who has now become Minister, Dr. Brother Khalid Muhammad today. And I'm pretty sure you all met him. You know, from what we know about our brother is that, you know, and I can speak from my vantage point, that he was a student, a servant, a soldier, musician, entrepreneur, family member. You know, brother was he definitely was heavy involved in his life. And I just want to say to our audience, you know, brother made it. Had returned to Allah and the ancestors on September the 17th of last month. And, you know, he was born Mitchell Singleton to his then blessed mother, Betty, and his father, Clarence. And, you know, Brother Mitchell was known to all of us for his fire, belief, and passion. He always reminded me of the song of the Dramatics, what you see is what you get. So today on the narrative, we want to give time and our respect to a man that we know and love as Brother Mitch. So, you know, brother and sisters, welcome to the narrative. I mean, you all, like I said, the brother in his service, we definitely want to look at today, because believe it or not, our brother, he has become an historical figure now. And his work, being in service, has been solidified into the history of the nation here in Houston and in the Western Hemisphere. I'm going to share a little bit more about that later with us. Before the show is over, but I'd like to start with a question. My first question to Brother Kerry. Out of the three of you, who is the oldest child and who was the baby of the family? Brother Kerry? Uh-oh. Let's see, where is Brother?
Baron is talking. Can you hear me?
No. Yes, I can hear you, Sister Stacy. Go ahead.
Okay, I hear him talking, so I don't know if
okay.
If he's just
okay,
having
Brother
some
Kerry?
Problems.
Yeah, can you
Brother
hear me?
Kerry?
Okay.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Did
Fair
you hear
enough.
My question, sir?
Yeah, I heard your question.
Okay.
So
yes.
The oldest of the three of us would be Mitchell, as you all refer to him as Mitchell Muhammad, and
right.
I am in the middle, and my sister is the youngest.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
you know, so yes, sir. For some reason, I kind of figured that Sister Stacy probably was the baby of the family.
Queen.
Brother Wiley.
No, go right ahead. I didn't want to interrupt.
Right, because you. Talking on the phone, I was trying to figure out if you were trying to say something. Okay, but anyway, okay, my next question is for Sister Stacy. Having those two brothers, did you have a strong protective barrier over you?
Well, so I'm not sure if you know this, but Mitch, you know, obviously he was here in Houston, in Texas, but we were in
right.
California. So we shared the same father, but not the same mother. So I didn't grow up with him per se. We just came, you know, summer vacations to visit. But, yes, he was still protective, even in as old as we, you know, to recent years.
Right.
He was always very protective. So to answer that question, yes.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
And what is,
yeah.
And what do y'all find this memory of our brother? And I know it's me.
Kerry, you want to go first?
But just share some.
Yeah, you go ahead, Stacey. I'll talk back to you.
I was going to say that Kerry had more stories than me, because Kerry would frequently come to Houston.
Right.
I probably stopped around visiting around age 12. But, you know, Mitch would come visit us. He was at both of our weddings, you know, but I just wasn't doing the every summer thing because there was nothing for me to do. It was just boys. So I was very
right.
bored when I, as a child when I would come down here in the summers. So, like I said, last time was maybe about 12 or 13. But I have my fondest memories are, you know, as an adult. You know, we would talk on the phone, and he can talk for a very long time. But yeah, very yeah. And he would tell you stories, and then he would try to school you on some, you know, on some knowledge that he has.
Right.
But yeah, and he would just, you know, he nicknamed me movie star. Well, for whatever reason, but that's what he always called me, movie star, in text, and like, movie star. And it was just a funny thing to hear his little, you know, his little southern accent when he would call me at. But yeah, as an adult, we were closer definitely than we were as with me, because there was a 5-year difference. And again, he and Terry hung out when we would come down here to Texas. And I was usually with Betty hanging out a little bit. But yeah.
Oh wow! Okay, movie star, huh?
That's what
That's interesting.
Yeah,
Brother Kerry, go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm gonna try and give you three fond memories. I'm gonna try and do it in segments of our life. One when we were children, adolescents, and then. Maybe as I was coming into adulthood. My brother has 3 years on me. So I'll talk about around the time when I was 17, and I'll talk about, you know, when we were, or at least I was, you know, an adult. So right back when I think I was about six years old, my brother came out to L.A. With his mother, and we were playing in my father's front yard playing football. We were throwing the football around. And actually, that's the first time that I was introduced to my brother. At that time, I had only come to Texas one time, and I was like 2 years old, or we had come to Texas. My sister and I was two. She was an infant because our grandfather, our paternal grandfather, was ill, and our parents, our mother, Stacy's and I mother, and my father drove back to Texas. And that was the first time that I'd come to Texas, and at that time, I'm only 2 years of age anyway, but I didn't know I had a brother until I was about six. And Mitch and his mother, Betty, came to L.A., and at this time now, my parents are divorced. Stacy's and I and mother are divorced from my father. So we were at my father's house, and he introduced me to Mitch, and I was real happy to say that I had an older brother. Because as far as I knew, I was the oldest between my sister and I. So we were outside playing football, and I recall these guys trying to come up and take our football from us. You know, I was about six, Mitch was about nine. And, you know, L.A. is a big gang culture out there. And even at that time, the gangs were really just starting to get started in the early 70s, mid-70s, really starting to get real popular and real deep. And they came by, and they thought they were going to take our football. And my brother and I got into a fight with these guys because, you know, they wouldn't take our football. We wouldn't let them take our football. So that's my my oldest, fondest memory of my brother. And then if we fast forward to the point that I'm about 17, and between that time, my father used to bring my sister and I out here. We used to visit during the summer. And, you know, we would get together. My father would take us, come by, pick my brother up, and he would take us to do certain things, you know, as siblings. But when I was 17, I was graduating from high school, and my brother came out for my high school graduation. And this actually was the time when he started studying the teachings of Elijah Muhammad. Yeah. And I remember when he asked me, when he came out, he asked me if I was going to think any different of him, because he was considering, you know, to join with Nation of Islam. And I'm only 17 years old. And I was like, man, no, it doesn't matter to me. You know, I'm okay. Whatever you do, you know, you do. So, again, he was just studying the teachings. He hadn't made any commitment at that time. This is 1984, May of 1984. And he stayed with us. When I say us, he stayed with my mother, my mother's house, my sister and I. Stay with us for the whole, I think it was about 2 weeks. Could have even been a little longer. Could have been closer to a month. But at the time, he was only about 20 years old. I think he was still at TSU, or he may have just stopped at TSU to start the teachings. I don't remember, but, you know, he started at TSU at the high school. So, you know, of course, the first thing he wanted to do was go to Hollywood. So we got on the bus because, you know, I didn't have a car. My mother wasn't, even though I had a license, but I didn't have a car. So we got on the bus, and I knew my way around the city on the bus because I used to take it every day to school and other places. So we go to Hollywood. He can see Hollywood. Mitch is always fascinated with movies and Hollywood and actors and actresses. I don't know what it was in him, but he loved movies. I mean, I love movies too, but he just was really awestruck about actors and actresses. I thought maybe he thought he was going to see some of them when he went down there to Hollywood. That wasn't the case.
Right.
It was just the city itself. So anyway, we catch the bus down there, catch the bus back, and showed him Hollywood. But my fondest memory at that time was him turning me on to the bean pie.
Yeah.
And so Mitch told me that he only ate one meal a day. And so I'm thinking to myself,
right,
why does this man eat one meal a day? I couldn't fathom that. I'm just coming off, you know, my senior year in high school playing football, so my appetite is healthy, and I'm eating three times a day, at least three meals a day, and probably some snacks in between that. But
right,
they say he eats one meal a day. I'm going, how do you eat one meal a day? So because he stayed with us, he showed me how he ate one meal a day. He was right. He only ate one meal a day, but he ate a whole bean pie a day as well. So he would get up and he would eat half the bean pie before his meal, have his meal,
right,
and then eat the other half of the bean pie after his meal.
Wow.
Yeah. And he, and at the time, Mitch was very, very, I wouldn't say very brave, but he was a lightweight guy. He only probably weighed about 100 and maybe 30 pounds, 35 pounds.
Right.
I was hearing him at 17, and he was 20. But, you know, Mitch ran track, and he played football at Jones also. So he was still in very good shape and very light. Like I said, he may have weighed 130, 135 pounds. And I was like, man, I don't know about no bean pie. I don't think I would like a pie that's made with beans. And I had this thing about beans, you know, and just even in general, I just thought beans were for poor people. So I didn't want beans even coming up as a kid. So I always thought that beans are for people who are poor. And so he let me take that pie, and that's all she wrote. And from that point on, he was going to get his pies. I was going to get my pies, too. And after he left and to come back to Houston for the summer, I was getting three or four bean pies at a time. Now, I didn't eat the whole pie one day like he did. I probably ate about half of it a day. But I was running to Brother Terry, who had a bakery on Van Ness and Slauson. I was running like twice a week with three or four pies. And I've been hooked on bean pies since then. I can't eat them like I used to for health reasons, but he turned me on to that bean pie, and that was it. That's all she wrote. I still tell people today how good bean pies are. Now people now starting to recognize that, and have been for a number of years now. But that's my fondest memory. I say when I was, you know, when I was a young person. Then into adulthood, as I started to become a man and understand things a little bit better about life and experience life, then I would get into debates with Mitch. Religious debates, political debates, and we'd be up 2 in the morning arguing and debating about certain issues, about religion. He had his way of thinking and beliefs. I had mine. We were both stubborn and both passionate about it. But I will say that I come to learn a lot of things about what he said were actually true, and I've changed my opinion on a lot of things because I've lived life. You know, at that point, I'm talking about my early 20s, and like my sister said, I was always coming out here, you know, even as an adult. And my brother would come out to L.A., although I came out here to Houston more often. But we'd just be up late talking, you know, and debating. And like my sister said, he was very loquacious and had no problem sharing his opinion about life and about religion. So those are kind of my finest memories of my brother.
Yes, sir.
I have one funny thing to share.
Yeah, go
ahead.
It just
came to me. My husband and I were talking about this a few weeks ago, but when we were getting married, this is in '93, Mitch came out here and he went to a bachelor party that my cousin's friends had given him, right? So there was the ladies who were there performing, and Mitch would stop them and say, "Why are you doing this? You don't have to do this." He's telling them they don't have to, like, you know, subject themselves or whatever, right? So it was just funny the way he did, because when my husband would, you know, repeat the story, he would do it in Mitch's kind of, you know, the way that he spoke. And, you know, so serious. And he would just stop, and they were like, you know, they're trying to run and, you know, do their thing so they can get their tips. And he was like, "You don't have to do this." He was telling them that day. I just thought that was funny. Yeah, so.
Well, let me ask you something, Sister Stacy. Did you ever try the bean pie? Like Brother Carey said.
Oh, yeah.
At first,
you
didn't want to, but he was hooked.
No. Yeah, I got hooked when Carey did. I think the whole house did when Mitch came.
Look at that, the whole house.
And introduced us to it. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Carey was just more into it than I was. But, I love him. As a matter of fact, while I'm out here, I'm going to get with one of the brothers that we met who bakes them and, you know, get some.
Right. Oh, wow. Well, you know, I have my co-host here, Brother Wiley Muhammad. And Brother Wiley, you want to share something about your fondest memories of dealing with Brother Mitchell?
Brother Mitch, incredible black man. First of all,
sir.
I like to say that. He was Muslim, and he was very dedicated and very much into the teachings.
Right.
It's Brother Mitch was also a student of mine in martial arts. And,
you know what? I didn't know that.
Yeah. He loved martial arts. I mean, Mitch really loved martial arts. And it's I contemplate different times that we were together in class. And just to think of him in class and how he was, it just brings a smile to my face. You don't, I'll tell you this, you won't find many more dedicated than Brother Mitch was to the Nation of Islam.
Yes,
and those teachings that come from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He used to often send me different videos of the Messenger teaching, and he wanted me to see it. He wanted to share it with me. It's why, you know, I knew how scholarly he was. When it comes to the teachings, and this is why I suggested that to you, that he would be a great person to bring on the show, because he had a library of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I knew a lot of young brothers today might not be aware of a lot of those teachings, and that Mitch could, and he would, share with them those teachings. You had a really, you know, incredible brother. I know I can say this. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the teachings that he brought is first on Mitch's list and what he loved. He loved his family. He loved martial arts. He loved music, particularly that music that came from Sun Ra and hip hop.
Yeah, right.
And
that was his favorite artist.
Yes. And Brother Mitch was, one thing I like, Brother Mitch was a very clean brother. He was very much into fashion. And whenever you saw Mitch, he was going to be very neat, very clean, and he represented well, very well, the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I, as his brother, I thank God for allowing me to know this brother in my life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And like when the brother and sister was talking and was sharing some of the little stories with us, and I can just see him doing exactly what it was that they said he did, because Mitch was definitely very duty bound, and he was very serious concerning teachings. They like Brother Carey say, boy, they were getting to them debates, and I'm pretty sure, Brother Carey, it would take all night. Back and forth,
yep.
Then when you think that, oh, man, it's over, then he'd come again. Go ahead, dear brother, you want to say something?
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, he was very passionate about his faith, Islam, and the teachings of Elijah Muhammad. And then that carried over typically into politics and current events. So you can imagine how the conversation would have gone when you start talking about current events, start talking about politics. And, you know, in this country, people like to separate the two, but the reality is that they're intertwined. And they're separate, right? You talk politics, at some point religion is going to come up and vice versa. We like to believe that it's supposed to be church and state separated, but that's not really the case. It's not true. It's a false narrative. They really are intertwined, and you can't really have one without the other in this country. I can only speak for this country. But, yeah, Mitch, he was very well-read. My brother was. There's a lot of qualities about my brother that I do wish that I had personally. One is his patience. At least in some areas. Some areas he wasn't patient, but and generally speaking, he was a patient man. He was a well-read man. He was a disciplined man. And I wish I had, you know, those qualities that my brother had. I have some discipline, but, you know, my brother, I think, was more disciplined, I think, and courageous. I mean, it takes a lot for someone to be born and raised as a Christian or baptized as a Christian and learn a new religion or study a new religion and follow that to the T. And that is what he did. In my opinion, you know, probably to a fault, but again, that's my opinion. But he was very disciplined, and I do recall him studying martial arts, and I guess you were the brother, and I'm sorry, I didn't catch the name again, I forget it. I'm sorry, the guy that just spoke before
Wali Muhammad.
He didn't necessarily mention your name to me, I don't believe, that I can recall, but he told me that he was studying martial arts with a brother from the mosque, as he did tell me. And he did enjoy it. And he told me how much he enjoyed it. He actually thought he can go out and whoop the world of what he learned in martial arts. He thought he was the baddest dude on the planet. You know, he knew that martial arts, and nobody better not come up on him, and he was going to do this and do that, and so he did love the martial arts, and our entire family actually has a love for music. My sister loves music. I love music. My whole father's side of the family is musically inclined. I have an uncle that played organ, a piano. Uh-huh. My grandmother that played piano in, at the church. And I think I have, I want to believe that one of my aunts was a music major, if I'm not mistaken. But music is runs deep in our family. So, and Mitch was no exception. So he did love music. I'm going to be challenged with having to go through his music collection when we go by the house and start, you know, cleaning stuff out. Because he had a lot of it.
Yes, right. He did.
And you know, that was going to be one of my questions to you all, because I've heard about his musicianship, and I was able to witness that at one point in time, because Brother Mitchell became part of a group down here from out of the mosque. It was known as the Muhammad Three, but that consists of Brother Sylvester Muhammad, Brother Mitchell Muhammad, and Brother Eugene Muhammad, and they used to entertain us, brother. I mean, and Mitchell could play them drums now, them percussions.
Yeah.
I think that was mainly his instrument. But did he play any other ones?
He played the percussions and the timbales. I don't know that he played any other instruments. I do know the percussion and timbales was what he did play. I remember him having a couple little like hand instruments, and they just made kind of little different noises and sounds that he mastered. I forget what they were called.
Right.
I know one of them is used in a cameo song. I recognize it. I can't remember which cameo song it is, but Mitch had that little hand instrument that made that sound. And then there was another.
I think it may be the Kalumba.
Kalumba? Yeah, I don't know the name.
I'm thinking it's probably
what it
was. Right.
But, yeah, he was very musically inclined. And as a matter of fact, Mitchell was a music major at TSU.
Right.
That was his major.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Okay. Well,
and
did you ever play?
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, yeah. Well, did any you two play any instruments, Sister Stacy? Did you ever play?
No, I gave a little stab at piano when I was probably about 7 or 8 years old, and it didn't interest me.
Okay. You sound like my daughter.
I don't play any instruments, but I love music. Like, I make sounds of instruments, you know, back with the older songs, and I was telling my son,
right.
Like, when we listened to music back then, we would actually, you know, when the music was playing, we would make those sounds as well as the lyrics.
Right.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But no, I didn't physically, I didn't play any instruments.
Right. What about you, Brother Ken?
No, I didn't play any instruments. I didn't even make any attempt. but I do love music. But I never attempted to play any. But again, that's a testament of my brother, how if he wanted to do something like that, he picked up one and he saw to it, right? I may have wanted to play a horn, a trumpet, or a saxophone, or play the drums. My favorite is the drums, but I never took the time to actually do that. Whereas Mitch, he took the time to do it and learn it and study it. That was that discipline that he had, and that was and that passion that he had. You know, some of those qualities, again, that I wish I shared with him.
Right. That is from just listening to you, the sister and Brother Wiley. It's a reoccurring theme that I'm hearing, and it's about brother's discipline. And when I came into the mosque, I came in the early stages back in 1986 when Brother Farrakhan came and registered us. Established us as a mosque down here in Houston, and Brother Mitch, he caught the eyes of Brother Dr. Halim. He caught his interest, and then Dr. Halim, when he became the minister here, Brother Mitchell was his first assistant minister here. So when I talked about earlier about brother in history, I mean, that right there alone will solidify his history with the nation right there, because he was right in the very beginning of our building efforts here in March 45. And I mean, and Brother Kerry, you're right, man. We were very young men at the time. Brother Mitchell was in his 20s. I mean, all just about the whole entire March was up in our 20s at that time. The majority of us were. And we were young men when we started soldiering together here in Houston. And I tell you, I mean, just to look back, just think back, because while you were talking about the bean pies and Brother Terry, I mean, you bringing back memories to me. And man, this is a blessing, I tell you. Area code 914-205-5519 for those of you who want to call in today. Go ahead and press 1. And then it will tell you that you are in the host queue, and I will let you in to the conversation. Say what you want to say to the family. As a matter of fact, it looks like somebody's been holding for a while. I'm gonna let this caller in right quick. All right, area code 713-256. You have a question or a comment for our guest today.
As-salamu alaykum.
Walaykum salam.
Walaykum salam.
This is name and where you calling from.
I'm calling from Houston, Texas. My name is Abdul Halim Muhammad.
Oh, my God. Praise be to Allah. How are you, sir?
Brother, you know, my saying is, if it gets any better, I'll get paranoid. Just gratitude for undeserved mercy and grace from God, brother. And I hear you talking about my brother, our brother, Brother Mitchell Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
I just want to say to his family, his sister and his brother, and to the whole world that listens to this program and may listen to it later, he's known to me and to others as Fire and Brimstone Mitch.
Yes, sir.
And, yes, he was disciplined. And, you know, music, they say, develops certain lobes in your brain. You know, you got different hemispheres in your brain. And music has a way of developing that. And the discipline to learn music and the discipline to be able to memorize music and play music is part of what attracted me to Brother Mitchell, because Brother Mitchell would literally memorize whole chunks of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad's speeches, particularly from the Theology of Time lecture series. He also would run down his lessons. Now, we called him Fire and Brimstone because he would come on and introduce me, and by the time he finished his scorched earth teaching, the people were happy to hear me come up with some jokes and whatnot, because Brother Mitchell was straightforward. One thing about it I love about Brother Mitchell is he had no guile. You know, there was no game to him. You know,
right.
He was pretty straightforward. He called balls and strikes as he saw them, and you could do nothing but respect that of a man like that. And whatever it is that he attempted to do, whether it was as his siblings were saying, music, or as I experienced with him, his memorization and recitation of the teachings. And when he learned to shine shoes, you know, he's a shinologist.
Right.
So I'm going to shine some shoes and make me a little money. I mean, he was a shinologist, because if you work at Cavender's, you're shining cowboy boots for cats that is not just cowboys, you know, doo-doo kickers, but you're shining the boots of people who are multimillionaires. Because the Houston the Houston Rodeo is one of the biggest events that Houston has every year. And so Cavender's is right there, being right by NRG or the Astrodome where it used to take place, is the fact that people buy and drop their boots off there. And for Brother Mitch to be a shinologist, regardless of creed, class, or color, you know, he had a clientele that spoke well of him. And that also reminds me of Brother Epworth X, who was, again, a Chinologist who was downtown shine in the shoes and the boots of these judges and lawyers and others and high priced people downtown. See, it's almost as if a shinologist, a beautician, a bartender, you know, these people are like junior psychologists because they see people in all walks of life.
Right.
And you got to be when you're dealing with people like that, you have to be conversant. And not narrow-minded and myopic, but you have to be conversant and universal and have the ability to express yourself and to ask and answer questions about human life, the ups and downs, the comings and goings of life, to be able to keep that clientele or to be able to engage that clientele.
Right.
So once again, you know, my love for Brother Mitchell is that, you know, you knew where you stood with him, and that's what all you can ask of people. You know what, you know it, you know, you don't like people to smile on your face, but they got a whole nother motive. And so
right.
I pray Allah will bless and comfort his sister and his brother and his family and all of us who knew, soldiered with, and had and served by. And I can't forget him because, you know, regardless of who I am, I wasn't always Dr. Abdul Halim Muhammad. I was Robert Tuez.
Right.
Then Robert Muhammad. You know, and whatever we've achieved from Brandon Street, I mean, you remember, brother, because we were Islam in a
yes,
box.
Sir.
I mean, you know,
yes,
that the mosque was so small, man. I mean, you know, we can laugh about them days. Then we moved to Cullen, and now we're over on a multi-million-dollar property over on Old Spanish Trail. But
right.
None of that would have been possible without brothers like Mitchell and others. And so I close my comments, and again, I'm going to join the family. We're going to have dinner before they leave.
Yes,
I know
sir.
They got some more work to do in the city, but before they leave, we're going to throw down. We're going to chow down, put some all 10 toes down and two elbows on the table. But
right.
as we move towards that, I just want to simply say it like this. You know, Jesus had a special relationship with God to the extent that he could call him Father. Now, many Muslims
right.
have a problem with that, but when you walk with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, you understand the principle that's involved with that. And yet, with the ability for him to have that special relationship with God where he could say that I and my Father are one, yet he would say, I myself can do nothing. And so there's no
right.
I, me, and mine in anything that we've accomplished in this city, Brother Derek. You're part of that sacrifice
yes,
and
sir.
That work. And so I say to you and all who are listening, you know, there's you know, they, them, and theirs that oppose us can never overcome us, our, and we if we only subordinate I, me, and mine. So my greatest
yes,
tribute I can give to Brother Mitchell is Brother Mitchell is one of the foundational stones of Miles 45's rebuilding, and he shall not be forgotten. He will not leave our memory, and he will be a part of that memorial when we reopen and rededicate the mosque property, you know, after the flood, after the hurricane damage we suffered in the renovation. Whatever kind of thing we put together, plaques or something, we're going to put together with all of those who have returned to Allah, but yet were part of helping rebuild Mosque 45 in the Nation of Islam. He shall be remembered. So I want to let the Singleton family know that we love him and we love them too. That love is not just for Mitchell, who didn't go down the ground with him. That love extends to them because they're part of our greater family. So thank you for allowing
yes,
me
sir.
These few words. May Allah bless
thank
him.
You.
Thank you.
If there's anything we can do, you know, hit Brother Erell and, you know, and we're going to get busy. Y'all ain't going to get out of town till we get down. You know what I'm saying? So make sure you bring your big long napkin because we're going to have to wipe the whatever, the sauce off our lips.
Oh,
well,
well,
we love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it.
Is due to Allah. Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Brother Doctor. Abdul Halim Muhammad, because when brothers started, and he's absolutely right, when we began here at Mosque 45, the beginning labor and staff, man, we talking about
yeah.
Brother Minister Robert Muhammad then,
Then you had former assistant minister Mitchell Muhammad. Then you had Sister Helen Muhammad. Then Brother Khalil, whose also name was Robert. I used to always think of them as the twin Roberts. I never told
yeah,
him.
He was Robert X and I was Robert 2X.
Yeah.
And then
Robert
Sister Gloria X Concepcion was
yeah,
our captain. Our sister
didn't remember. Yes, sir.
Yep.
And what I was going to do, brother, because I talked to so many believers on last night, and
uh-huh.
I was going to do a show after our next show on Sunday. I was gonna do a show dealing with us memories, reflecting back on those early days of March 45, and I was going to also
mm-hmm.
reach out to Brother Carlos, who is the historian of the nation, to come on to the show and listen to our story. That way we can have a record of that where he can get, and we can start writing down our history here. Cause we got a lot of history.
Yes,
you remember, brother? We were young men when we started.
Yeah, I'm still a young man. I don't know about you, brother. But anyway, what I'm saying is, yeah, but I agree with that, brother, because it's important because as you speak, brother, I am writing down almost my life story, you
yes,
know,
sir.
And it's really because I have grandchildren now, and I'm looking at it, but you're absolutely right, Brother Derek. I'm looking at my life, and I'm saying, oh, wow, man, how did I get here? So I'm retracing those breadcrumbs
right.
and finding – you know, those pieces of my life and the people who, you know, as I said, helped me to get where I am, you know, because I, you know, if you find a turtle sitting on a fence post, no, he didn't get there by himself.
That's
I'm just
right.
a turtle on a fence post, man. Somebody put me here, you know, so I'm not,
right.
I'm not even, you know, attributing to myself greatness, you know, because all praise is due to Allah. So I want to thank you for these moments, brothers. But put that show together, and yes, we need to do that. And you said Carlos, so I was thinking about the Carlos who fished me back into the nation. I'm gonna find
yes.
him. We need to find him because I need to give him some flowers while we live. So thank
yes,
you,
sir.
Thank
okay.
you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you,
thank
you.
Thank you so
and
much for calling. Yes, sir. Boy, you got me feeling goosebumps now. Thank you for calling here, brother. Peace. All right, brother. Brother Stacy and excuse me, Sister Stacy and Brother Gary, anything y'all want to say? Any thoughts on Brother Minister?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that
question? Right. Any thoughts y'all want to have to say about Brother Minister in this call?
Well, I mean, it sounds like, again, that my brother had a huge impact on a lot of people, particularly those brothers at the mosque, and it doesn't surprise me at all. You know, he was a very patient man. He was a very caring man. He loved black people. He loved to see black people thrive, doing well, excelling. So what the brother said about my brother, our brother Mitchell, but doesn't surprise me at all.
Yes, sir. Sister Stacy?
I agree with everything Kerry said. I can't add much more to that. But we actually was talking to Brother Muhammad, you know, last week, and I have to write down the nickname because I can't remember for the life of me. But he had also shared that story with me. The nickname that he gave him. All I know is the word
right.
brim is in there, but yeah. But I'm going to have to write it down so I can remember it. Yeah. Brother Derek, I have a question. Is this call being recorded? Because I have some family on listening now, but I also have some
yes,
to make it and a couple of Mitchell's friends that I can forward a link to them later.
Yes, ma'am. Matter of fact,
okay.
We're being recorded live right now, but it's archived, so you can pick it up 24
okay.
hours a day. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And you can also right. download it as well.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
So, Brother Wiley, you want to say anything else? You have anything to say, brother, before I take the next call?
I would say to them, If you haven't done so already,
yes, sir.
I hope you get a chance to speak to Brother Erail.
Right.
I've
Brother
been talking to Brother
mentioned
Erail.
Him.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been talking to him pretty regularly. Sorry to interrupt, but I have been talking to him. Even this morning, we texted this morning, so I've been talking to him. He was actually one
Very
of the persons
good.
To call me last week, so yes.
Yes, ma'am. Very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cause you heard what Brother Nelson said. He said, well, they get ready to chow down. You know who they're going to chow down with.
Yeah, because he's a chef, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's the chef. So you'll definitely be with him, and he may be on the call already. So I'm going to take the next caller. Let's see. Okay. Get the mic open. All right. Area code 281-223. You have a question, comment, anything you'd like to say to Brother Mitchell's family?
Assalamu alaikum, family.
Wa alaikum salam. Oh,
yes, indeed. Praise be to Allah. Yes, indeed. You know, just following up after our minister, Abdul Halim, made those wonderful comments about our beloved brother Mitchell, I was blessed to be a part of that foundation before Brandon Street, and definitely when we moved to Brandon Street. And I do remember him being one of our ministers, like Minister Abdul Halim, labeled him fire and brimstone. He was
right
on point. He was going to speak truth and, you know, didn't cut any corners. In those days, we were just starting off, like, in the little boxed-up mosque. It was a little small place. But, you know, the Quran said that success does not depend on numbers. And we definitely, you know, we had a lot of history in that little place on Brandon Street. And I remember Brother Mitchell, you know, really teaching and being a brother that is definitely dedicated and devoted to his work in the nation. And just being a good brother, you know, being a good brother. You mentioned some of the other people that are pioneers that were among us, Sister Gloria Concepciano, Sister Gloria
right.
Bean, Brother Marty, even Sister, I think Sister Nadine and Brother John may have come later because they were,
yes.
you know, they. I think they had just gotten out of high school. But we have a, you know, that journey was a great foundation for myself in particularly. And like Minister Abdul Halim mentioned, looking back, looking from where I'm standing now and looking back, it's like, wow, we have come a long, long way from whence we began. And I would like to say to the family, my deepest, from my family and myself, my deepest condolences to the loss of your brother. He really was a wonderful person, and he was a strong believer in Islam, and he was a great teacher, you know. So please accept the condolences. And thank you again, Brother Derek, for putting this show together. This is like a family reunion, so to speak.
Yes, ma'am.
With a lot of historical accounts here from, you know, we don't hear too much about the journey of where we came from that place on Brandon. And even before that, it was the YMCA and TSU, and I know Brother Mitchell was in that rank during that time. But, yeah,
right.
you know, it's just, you know, good to be able to hear and give a testimony about it. And I think we should have our own writings, our historical writings, because so many people have, you know, been in this work, in this mission, and, you know, some of them have passed on. And we want to
right.
definitely acknowledge them, you know, as we're doing today. So that's pretty much what I wanted to add to, you know, make a statement.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you,
ma'am. Because when we talked, you know, when we talked this week, and Sister did remind me of something, and it was funny because Brother Brother Dr. Haleem Muhammad and Brother Mitchell would sometimes find themselves speaking to chair. And Brother Haleem still talk about and laugh about that to this very day. And I mean, just as you would see how powerful Brother Mitchell got, Brother Carey, with whenever he was like wanting to expound on some points, he was doing that to the chairs. Brother was real.
Yeah.
He was fire and brimstone, man. Even to the chairs, and Dr. Haleem too.
That's
and then
right.
if you look at him now, you know, years pass on. Now he's speaking to millions, man. Brother Dr. Haleem have traveled to China. You know, he's been all traveling the world now. And that goes to show you how humble our beginnings are into where you can become if you keep the path. And as we know about Brother Mitchell, man, his path was already laid, and he wasn't changing from that path. And
mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right, brother. That brother could dress. He always made sure that his shoes were shined, his suit was pressed and clean, his shirt was white. Not dingy, but white. That was him. So, yeah, thank you so much, sister, for calling in. We're going to go to a next caller. Let's see. Oh, yeah, here we go. Area code 346-300. You have a question, comment, or a message you want to give to Brother Mitchell's family?
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. Yes, sir.
How's my family?
Oh, we are fine, sir.
Yeah, I just want to say peace to Brother Carey and Sister Stacy. This is Brother Nasir Muhammad. I was at the services. That's where you guys met me.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I remember.
Okay. Yeah, man, it's... I'm sitting here listening to all the words that's being said about Brother Mitchell, who was my brother, you know, just like he was y'all's. He was indeed my brother. And there's so many memories, you know, and we did so much together. I was sitting here trying to think of the first time I met Brother Mitch. And, you know, it's been so many things, I can't remember the exact time. I do believe, though, it was on Brandon. And then, too, you know, he was given the name Fire and Brimstone, and I couldn't remember. I mean, I know why we gave him that name, but I couldn't remember, you know, that Mitch was indeed an assistant minister. I forgot all about that, man. You know,
yes, sir.
He's done so much. I forgot all about that, and that's where he got that name, because I remember we would all be listening to him, and we would think, man, this brother don't care about nothing. You know, and man, it was so refreshing, but Mitch would say it like it was, you know, take it or leave it alone, like the messenger would say, you know, and... Man, I'm gonna miss my brother, and you know, wherever he was, shining shoes, I would always go and patronize him, and it always amazed me, you know, Mitchell would be, you know, speaking on the teachings, and he would be speaking loud enough for everybody in the place to hear. I'm saying, Brother Mitch, bro, you ain't gotta talk that loud, you know, you ain't gotta talk that loud, bro. And he would say, no mind. He would just keep on, and if I went by to get my shoes done, he'd be shining my shoes. He'll stop for a second, you know, take a look around, and you know, while he's teaching, he's always looking around. Go back to, you know, getting my shoes, and man, it was just something to, you know, spend time with him. And also, you know, Mitchell was one of my biggest supporters as well. You know, like my big brother, who is my teacher and was also Brother Mitchell's teacher. Brother Mitch became a student of mine when I opened my school. And, you know, whatever it was I was doing, you know, if Mitchell knew about it, he was going to support it. He was one of my biggest fans of the bean pie. Mitch would never take less than two pies from me. You know, whenever I take, if he had the money, he was going to get two pies or he'd get it on credit. But Mitchell would always take two pies until he had the situation with his diabetes, you know. But, yeah, man, Mitchell was a very special brother, you know, and he's definitely going to be missed. I used him on a few occasions to assist me if I had, you know, a security detail and I needed someone to cover down with me.
Right.
If Mitchell had the time, he would step up. You know, he was that kind of brother. You know, and he was definitely what everyone else is saying. He was very serious about the teachings, you know.
Yes,
he loved rap, Wu-Tang Clan. Always talking about the Wu-Tang Clan. You know, also love, you know, martial arts like everybody said. I mean, we'd have conversations about movies, martial art movies. Sometimes he would, like my big brother said, you know, sometimes he would send me a text and tell me to go check out this or check out that, and, you know, and if he bought some CDs from people like Professor Griff, he would probably buy me one and buy Big Brother one. And, you know, he was a very giving brother, you know. And he's definitely going to be missed by me, you know. And it was a real shocker for me to find out that our brother was no longer among us, you know, physically. But he will always remain in my memory. And I got some pictures of him in my school that I'm going to share with you, Sister Stacey and Brother Carey. Once I find them, I'm going to share those pictures with you.
Appreciate that.
Appreciate that.
Do a lot. All right. Thank you, brother. I'm glad you called, brother, because you brought the message to me that about brother and so. That you was one of the ones that really sparked my idea to go ahead and do this show. This show because a lot of the believers, when we got the message, a lot of we probably haven't even received it as of now, you know. But by doing this show now the believers have something to go back on and listen to. Yes, sir.
And I appreciate you for doing it, for coming up with the idea. And I also want to thank Brother Ewell for reaching out to me because, you know, I was in the midst of working and I got the call. And, man, after he told me that, it was the day of the services. And I said, man, I'm shutting down everything right now. So, you know, that's the least I could do for my brother, you know. That was the least I could do for him.
Yes, sir. And Brother Erail, I tried to reach out for Brother. I never got his number, but I'm pretty sure if he's listening, because he does listen to the show, that he may be already in the list of calls. So just hold your phones. We'll be coming right to you all. We passed the top of the hour. It's 3:08. So we're gonna go on to the next call. I appreciate you calling in, brother.
Well, I had to, man.
Assalamu alaikum. All right. Brother Wiley, you have anything to say? Add? And Brother Carey or Sister Stacy?
Well,
I just wanna add
go ahead, please.
Oh, no, I was just going to, you know, going back to a fond memory. My brother used to write me very nice letters and cards, and you can tell he put everything into it. It wasn't a rushed job. He was very particular about the words he chose, very poetic at times, but he was a very good writer and had the neatest handwriting. But he would always send me nice cards and used to write me letters, you know, back in the day.
Right.
Yeah, very good penmanship, especially for somebody that was left-handed.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Oh, wow, he's left-handed. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he played them drums like that? Wow. Oh. Wally, go ahead, brother.
No, I was just basically thinking of him when Nasir called. It was Nasir who introduced me to Brother Mitch.
Right.
And, I met him, I met Mitch. As I said, he came to me along with a lot of other brothers to learn martial arts. And
right.
Nasir was the one who brought him to me. And, I mean, he when I say it, Brother Mitch really loved martial arts, I mean, he really did. But the one thing that was very admirable about your brother was his firmness in regards to the teaching. I mean, he had true conviction, and it didn't matter who it was. He wasn't going to yield an inch. And I'm saying to you, I have no other way to say it than this. That is something that should be a standard among us as believers. Well, if I were to say and have the flag, I would give it to your brother to be the standard bearer. Because
something's loud.
He was dedicated like that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm gonna go back to the phone lines. Let's see. All right. Back 00. Question or comment or message that you'd like to give to our guest today for Brother Mitch.
Brother Derek, what did you say?
Oh, I have you online. Do you have a question or comment or a message you'd like to give to the family, Brother Mitchell?
Oh, this is Kerry speaking, his brother. I didn't know what you said. Were you talking to a caller?
Yes. Yes, I was.
Okay. I'll put myself on mute.
Last time, Eric, 951-400, question or comment? Okay, I guess just, all right, let's go to our next caller. All right, let's see. Area code 951-600. Call 951-563. Well, we're gonna move. That was one of the things I want to bring up because Brother Mitchell and his entrepreneurship. And I want to ask a question to Brother Kerry and Sister Stacy. Which one would you all say kind of receive his power for justice and equality and fairness from? And I also pose that question to the both of you. You know, because our parents are our foundation and examples in our younger years. But you know, Brother Mitchell have a love and drive for knowledge.
and he was also an entrepreneur. And like brother Dr. Eileen said, shoe shine, shoe repair business. I was part of that group as well that was taught by Brother Epworth Muhammad as well, and also shown the shoe shine and shoe repair business as well. But I didn't do like brother Mitch did. He started baking and selling the bean pies. and hopefully that slowed him down from eating them. He too.
I didn't even know he did that. So that's a good to know. I didn't know that. Did you know that, Kerry?
No, I didn't know he did bean pies. All I was aware of was shoe shine.
Oh, yeah. He makes them. Because Brother Edwards, he also was a baker and seller of bean pie as well. So I know go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know that he would always give recommendations and suggestions on diet, right? Like he would say, you know, get you some brown rice or get you some whole grain rice. He would give suggestions about that, tell you how to cook it. You know, he'd say, you got to boil it down. You got to boil it for 50 minutes. You got to boil it to get all. He would give you all these recommendations about cooking the rice, but I didn't know that he baked. I didn't know. I was not aware of that. But what I did want to touch a little on is you talked about his thirst for knowledge. And one of the things that when Mitch would come to L.A., he would always have me take him to Esalen Books. It's a black bookstore down in Inglewood. I think there may be one in Leimert Park as well, but I know there's one in Inglewood on Brea, and that's the one I used to take him to. And he would go in there. You know, he's a very patient man, and I'm not the most patient person. And he'd be in that bookstore looking. And I'm looking at my watch. They say, come on, man, get the books you want to get so we can go. But he sits there. But, you know, as he's a guest, as he would tell me, he's a guest. So I would be patient with him. He'd go through looking for books and taking his time. And then if I was right there alongside with him, he'll point out a good book. That's a good book right there. You need to get that. And he bought my daughter's, or my youngest daughter, actually. He bought her a set of books. It was like three of them. And, you know, when I like to think a lot, and I like to be alone a lot and think just and reflect on my life and where I am today. And, you know, I think one of the other brothers said, how did I get here, where I am, and maybe where I want to be in the next 5 years. I do a lot of thinking on my own because I like to just be alone and thought. And one of the things that I do regret in life as it pertains to my brother is he bought my youngest daughter three books. I don't remember the titles of them. I just remember one of the titles was very, very, let's just say, bold. As you said, Fire and Brimstone Light. And
right.
I just didn't think that my daughter was ready to read that kind of material or content at the time. She must have been probably about 10 years old at the time, about 10,
right.
9 or 10. And I just wasn't ready for her to read that, and I had to have a conversation with him. I said, hey, I appreciate you buying these books for your niece and wanting her to be knowledgeable about certain things, but I'm not quite ready for her to read this book with this type of content yet.
Right.
If she wants to read this on her own as she gets a little older, you know, that's fine, but I'm not ready for her to read this yet. I didn't want to shape my daughter's mind is where I was thinking. And when I look back on it, I probably could have handled that a little bit different because I could tell that it did hurt him. It hurt him for me telling that. And it was not my intention to hurt his feelings. I just was being truthful about that. I just didn't want my daughter reading that kind of content. In hindsight, and being, you know, and I was about 30, I don't know, I was about 34, 35 at the time, but, you know, still, my mindset was just not there. And
right.
And I told him that, and again, I believe it hurt him. I could tell by his expression and his response that it did hurt. You know, he took the books back home with him to Houston when he left. But the one regret is that I really wish I would have at least, at the bare minimum, at least
accepted the books, maybe read the books myself, and then once I read the books, made that decision or determination if it was something that, you know, I wanted to share with her, or at just if I didn't read them on my own, if I would have just waited till she became of age, whether that's 13, 14, 17, whatever that may be, then say, hey, these are some books that your uncle got for you. I didn't share them with you when you were young because I didn't think you were ready, but here they are now. But
right.
He was always reading. I say he was a well-read man. Everything from periodicals, newspapers, magazines, books, you name it, the back of album covers. He could tell you who wrote songs. He could tell you who produced songs because he read the back of the album cover. I didn't
right.
read the back of the album covers until I was well into them, and by the time I was reading them, there were CDs. But he was always reading the back of the album to tell you who wrote songs, who produced songs. He was really into the details about everything that he did in life. As a matter of fact, we were at Cavern de Boot, the latest one that where he was working, and one of the assistant manager was telling us about him and how customers were trying to strike up conversation with him, and he didn't say much. He'd just be sitting up there shining the shoe, and you would look at the shoe. He'd look at it, and it wasn't good enough. He'd still hit it with that brush, keep hitting it with that brush, keep hitting it with that brush. He'd look at it again, and I would swear it looked like glass, but he was still hitting it with that brush until it met his standard.
Right.
And then he put the brush down and considered the job done and declared victory. So I just wanted to share that with the audience as well about my brother.
Yeah, and he got a lot of that desire for knowledge and reading from our father. Our father didn't necessarily read books, but he read the newspaper like crazy. And he watched a lot of news, and he could really talk about a lot of subjects and topics, you know, current events and world issues. You know, he would watch 60 Minutes. I think that might be why I'm hooked on so many. It's not good for us nowadays, but, you know, I think that's why I would watch certain political shows on the weekends. Because he would watch, you know, those shows, and he would read the newspaper a lot. Our father did.
Right.
He could talk to anybody about any subject on any given day.
Isn't that something? I believe even with a lot of us in the nation, we came up through a lot of what Brother Nunes came up with, because I'm hearing a lot of things of what you all are saying, how he was when it came to terms of discipline. I've done those things myself. But I'm surprised to find that he was such of a right. That's what I'm right about nature. Right. For writing when I was 16 years old. And right every day, I like Brother Mitch, I would read the back of the critics for, and you know. Yeah. And I dive and dab in the music every now and then as well. So that's interesting. Wow, I'm learning a lot. What about you, Brother Wally?
Well, I'd like to ask, do you have any idea how courageous your brother was? I'm asking
absolutely.
The family.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I think I mentioned a little bit earlier that the fact that he was baptized and raised as a Christian, and believe me, so Betty, even though we had different mothers, Betty was like a second mother to me. When we came in town, we stayed at Betty's house from time to time. And then when I would come as an adult, she would insist that I stay and she'd make a meal and things of that nature. So she and I were pretty close. And I would come in town and you know, Betty would want to go to the Golden Corral. So we'd go to the Golden Corral and then we go get a pedicure. I'm not ashamed to say that as a man, I get pedicures. I would take Betty, get a pedicure. We go together and go shopping, store, and get whatever she was going to make for dinner. And Betty would share a lot of things with me about how she felt about Mitch's faith, you know, and compared to her faith. So there was a lot of, you know, conflict because, you know, Betty was Christian and she didn't believe in Islam, and she thought, you know, she just thought that Mitch was, I won't say not making the right decision, but she just, obviously it's just a difference, right? Christianity, Islam, two different faiths, really nothing in common, to the best of my knowledge. So she was sharing with me about how she, you know, wished Mitch would not, you know, practice Islam and return back to Christianity and things of that nature, and we talk about that. And Mitch steadfast. This was his faith. This is what he believed in. This is what he thought was the original religion or faith, particularly for black men. And even though he may have disappointed his mother, he was steadfast with his faith. And the simple fact that, again, he was very proud of being a Muslim. He was very proud of being a black man, and he wore that with a badge of honor, and he was unapologetic about it. So he was very courageous.
Right.
So absolutely.
Absolutely. And that's why I was saying a lot of what I'm hearing, many of us, especially when we have came into the Nation of Islam, especially if you're a young man, and this is something that was never practiced in your home, you know, it become a shocker to your family. And the first thing that, because that's the first run-in you're going to have is with your family, like, hey, what are you doing? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, that's understandable. And years passed because normally you go through the fire dealing with your family, it normally take about 3 years before they realize that, look, man, this dude ain't turning around. He's going to be what he's going to be. So I'm pretty sure that happened with brother as well, you know, and then you begin, and then the family begin to see the discipline and the change in you. So, you know, they bag off after time. So I'm not surprised. Well, you know that is wonderful that you even put that out there, because a lot of the believers who came into the Nation, that, you know, these are things that we go through, and we don't get the opportunity to really sit down and talk with each other on that unless you're real close with another believer. But things like that happen, and then when you see the discipline of the brothers and sisters, then the family begin to realize that, you know, this man is serious. You know, because being coming up in a family, people seeing you when you wasn't so serious. But then when you come into something that now that you're really serious, and then you're fighting to become one with that, with your belief now. You know, and then they realize that, look, his brother's not turning around. And Brother Mitchell, I'm pretty sure if he was as fiery as he was on the podium, I'm pretty sure that would come up with some serious debate along the way. Go ahead, bro.
No, I was going to say, I'm going to give you another testament to his commitment and discipline with the faith of Islam. So when I was 15, I was out here. That was the last time my sister said when she was out here. I guess she was 13. But I think I was 15. And we came out here actually in 82. So my brother had just graduated from high school. And that, I don't know, I guess you guys probably graduate out here in May or June as well, out here in Texas. And my brother turned 18 in April, and so he was a legal adult. And this is before he became Nation of Islam, so he was, you know, of this world, so to speak. And so he was celebrating his 18th birthday. I don't know why they celebrated it so late, you know, because his birthday's in April, and we were out here probably in June, could have been even July, but it was a couple months after he actually turned 18. He was celebrating his birthday, and Betty, his mother, went and got a couple trays of, like, deli meats and cheeses and things of that nature from the store.
Right.
And then they went and got some liquor. And so back then,
he used
to drink Mickey's Big Mouth. That was his beer of choice, Mickey's Big Mouth. But they also bought some hard liquor. They bought some rum and coke. And it may have been something else they did too. But and it was nothing but maybe about a handful of people, maybe like, I don't know, maybe up to 10, 12 people that were over. And, you know, I wanted to partake in the party, right? So I'm only 15 at the time. Now, they're pouring drinks, you know, alcohol, and I wanted one. And first they were like, no, you can't have any of this. And I just demanded. I kept insisting, I want a drink. So finally, him and his neighbor across the street named Alton, and Alton was about 5 years older than Mitch. And they said, here, give him the drink. So they made me a rum and coke, and I had a second one, and I was just out. I said, I'm sleepy, I'm going to bed, and I was out, right? So that was in 82, and then Mitch came out for my high school graduation in 84, 2 years later, and again, he was practicing the teachings. He hadn't quite, you know, crossed over yet. He was practicing. He was studying, and he didn't drink. He didn't want anything to drink. He told me, he said, I don't drink anymore. He didn't eat pork anymore. And
right.
He never smoked. He never smoked, but he, you know, he did used to drink Mickey's. And from that point on, it could have been as recent as 83. But I can just tell you that from 84, when he came out to L.A., Mitch had never touched a drink from that point forward. And
yes, sir.
I remember when I would come out here, or he would come to L.A., we would go out. We would go to clubs, and I would order me a drink because I do drink, and he would get a club soda. That was his way of, I guess, you know, looking like he had something. It'd be cool.
Well,
he had a club soda.
Brother, I'm going to see if I can pull something up right now of Brother Mitch speaking on knowledge, and I want to make sure our audience can hear his voice and hear what he was speaking on. So let me see if I can get this up. Brother Mitchell, you wanna say something about knowledge, brother, and then we're gonna move next to wisdom. Go ahead, brother.
Knowledge?
Yes, sir. Why is it essential that one start there? Because remember, we talking knowledge of self as well. Go ahead.
That's a major part in being a civilized man, or becoming a civilized man, is to have knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have knowledge. That's part of being a civilized man and becoming a civilized man, is having knowledge, as well as knowledge of self. Other than that, we'll be on a path of, like, instincts, like animals, and we're not animals. We're not that, you know. We don't function on instinct.
I talked to Brother Wiley this week. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, over the years, I've heard many people, you know, I've been in circles and outside of the circle, those in the society, those in the world. And I've heard many people say that that we're animals. You know, they say that we're animals. Mm-hmm. And that always kind of pissed me off, you know. And I would always challenge that, you know. And the arguments got very, very heated based on that. Man, we're not animals. We never were animals. We're not animals. And they try to explain their theories and whatnot. I said, no, we're not animals. We are the highest representative of God's creation. We're not animals. Animals serve us. We don't, not the other way around. Animals serve at pleasure. We use animals to our benefit, but we're not the animals ourselves. They function on instinct, you see.
Mm-hmm.
We don't function on it. you know, we're the highest form of creation. Highest form of creation. And that's an actual fact.
You know what? I want to say something about that. Like you said, that animals function on instinct, but instincts is really a skill. With us, it has become a skill, but at one point in time, we did rely on instinct in order to survive. Brother Wiley, what do you think on that, brother?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I wanted everybody to hear him speak on knowledge and what he thought and what he believed on that. And brother, I'm pretty sure Brother Carey, after hearing his voice and him speaking like that, I'm pretty sure you heard that a lot of times, didn't you?
Yeah, in particular about animals, that very subject. We talked about that a lot. You know, my sister had mentioned earlier that he was very loquacious, and we had many late nights talking and debating, and he would try and share the teachings of Elijah Muhammad with me, or, you know, Islam faith with me, and that it would carry on into, you know, philosophy, right? So we're not animals.
Right.
I never heard him say that that the animals are here to serve us. I don't remember specifically saying that, but I do recall him comparing, or people trying to compare us as human beings to animals. Like he said, it pissed him off, and he'd go down that rabbit hole with him, and you could be in for a long conversation, a long debate.
Sister Stacy, you want to say something?
No, I'm actually just trying to get over hearing his voice. It was kind of emotional for me, so.
Yes, ma'am.
It was kind of, yeah, so I don't have anything to add.
Yes,
I would
ma'am.
Like to have the recording, but we can talk about that offline. But I would like to have that recording.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
or
ma'am.
We have with his voice.
Right, because you can find them all in the archives. I'm going to definitely
on your site.
The,
okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. That was a show. That matter of fact, that was a show on just this past Father's Day. And
I was
going to
ask how long ago that was.
Yeah, during the Father's Day, mm-hmm. and it was called The Pursuit of Happiness. And, you mm-hmm. can get it and download it and have it forever.
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Brother Wiley, anything you want to add?
No, but it just, you know, hearing his voice was
mm-hmm.
very pleasant. It made me smile, and it was very pleasant, you know. And as, you know, I would like to say this as a
yes, sir.
Muslim. We don't grieve the passing
right.
of one of us. We smile at the thought and at the best thoughts of our brother. In memorizing moments that we shared, that we had together, that's the best thing. Because nothing is really lost according to our belief. Once you understand life and what life really is, we understand that according to our teacher teaching us, and we have no need to grieve. Our brother is with us and will always be with us because we do understand life and we move on. It's a what we're doing now is enjoying a moment of thought and thinking regarding the life of our brother. But as your brother, I would say to you, he is not lost. He is not gone. See, too often, because we can't see the physical, we say it's gone. But as your sister stated, when she heard his voice, it was a little emotional for her. It's just a testimony. It bears witness to the fact he is not gone.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. And he will always be. Because Brother Mitchell became a part of something that is bigger than himself. And when you sacrifice your life to build the kingdom of God, oh man. Do you know how big that is? That means that your spirit is going to constantly keep coming back over and over and over again. And that fire of the spirit is going to always keep reigniting in others. That's the reason why when we speak, we are admonished in the Quran never to speak of our people as being dead. They are not dead. It says, though you may not perceive it, they are not dead. And that's because the spirit that's carried in brother is eternal. And as the days goes on, because you know of his voice, you know what it sounds like, you're going to be hearing it again in certain instances that you come across. You know, you're going to have a thought, then it's just like you're going to hear brother speaking to you. The spirit lingers. The spirit is there. The testimony, the way he talked, the way he lived his life, the lessons that he had, those are a lot of things that we still draw upon today, even from our passing ones. Because I can still hear the voice of my mother talking to me. And certain things, you know, if I'm sitting up talking, you know, contemplating, then I can hear it. And I choose to cut it on, cut it off. You know what I'm saying? But that is us. And that's the way people are remembering their loved ones. So, yeah, sister, brother is definitely well with us still. And we're going to, in the days ahead, a lot of things that he said and taught, you're just going to run into it. You're going to start hearing it everywhere. Because, boy, when you reach to the level to where you become light, oh, man, you illuminate things all around you. So, Brother Carey, yes, sir, brother. I'm really enjoying this. Let me see if we have any more callers because we have people that's online listening. And to those of you who are online, but I know some of you all are listening to us by your telephone set, I'm not sure if you can do the chat on your telephone set. I never had that experience with that. But I do know for those of you who are at your computer, you can type in your messages online in the chat box, and then it would appear on the screen. So let me see if I got another caller here. Yes, we do. Let me open this up. Assalamu alaikum. Area code 713-962. You have a question or comment? Question or comment?
Oh, no, I don't have a question or comment, but I'm enjoying hearing the wonderful tribute to Brother Mitch. I'm learning things I didn't know, and I know that he was also a gentle soul.
Yes,
we appreciate him and a good son, which is also important. Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, well, alaikum salam. Yes, he was. You know, when he was your brother, you know it. He's your brother. If he told you that you're my brother, you was his brother, regardless. Like I want to say something about what Brother Wiley said about his discipline, man. No matter where our brother was, man, he even to the time when he started wearing hats, hat was always nicely groomed. I mean, I don't recall one time where I do remember seeing him where his hair was never kept up. He always had his haircut. He always, like Brother Carey was saying, man, he always maintained that physique. I mean, I never really seen him with his stomach out. That just didn't happen with Brother Mitch, not from the time period where I was around. But I'm not surprised with that too, Brother Carey, when he's talking about the brother ate the half the bean pie, and before the night was gone, the whole bean pie was gone.
Yeah.
A lot of us do that. A lot of us did that when we taste that bean pie for the first time. That bean pie is gone. I don't know about brother Wiley, but I know when I got my first taste of bean pie, man, that bean pie was gone, man, as soon as I got it. What about you, Brother Wiley?
Well, you know, I like bean pie, but I don't like everybody's bean pie. I guess I'm having a Mitch moment. I don't like everybody's bean pie. And because everybody can't make the bean pie who attempts to do so. I like the bean pie that really is the bean pie.
The supreme bean. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And we got here. Okay. Oh boy, we got about 11 minutes in the show. Is there anything you all want to share about, like, during childhood? I know Stacey said she went, because you know she's the baby of the family. So by that time, I'm pretty sure brother was already gone from. This is sister. Were you born and raised in California?
Yes. My brother and I both.
Okay.
Carrie and I both. But my father made sure we came to Texas every summer, up until, like I said, the last time I recall coming was summer of, well, I don't know the year, but I was about 13 years old.
Right. Because when I talked to Brother Carrie, he was telling me that Houston is like his second home.
Yeah, he comes here way often. But you got to remember, like you said, I was a baby and I was also a girl. It was very boring for me. There was nothing to do except for be hot and eat. That's pretty much it. And, you know, so it was
in
very,
Houston, nothing to do. Yeah, man.
At that age, because my brother found things to do. He was going to skating ring and, you know, doing all these other things when Mitch had to work and when Betty went to work. But I was just sitting in the house. There was nobody entertained me. you know, I think we went to Astroworld one year. But that was it.
Oh, boy,
so,
you really bringing back memories for us. Yeah, man, we miss Astroworld. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, you been, yeah, man, we miss Astroworld down here, man. I know I do. Because I think before they closed it down and moved it to Dallas, I think my youngest boy, no, my youngest daughter got the opportunity to go, and then that was
mm-hmm.
it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, I miss Astroworld. All right, brother and sister, you know, did Brother Mitch ever make any recordings? Or did he ever record
music
with anybody?
Or audio?
Yes, with music.
I'm not aware.
Y'all know
of
any?
Tina?
Yeah, I don't know of any. I know Mitch did tell me that he was part of a band, and I don't know if it was just the one that one of the brothers was speaking of, the three Muhammads, I think they said it was called.
Right.
Or the three. Yeah, I didn't know that
was Muhammad
band,
3.
Muhammad 3, there you go. Well, I know Mitch was playing while he was in college. I know they had a band together. He was a music major at TSU, Texas Southern. And I believe they had put a group together while he was in college. I don't know that it was the Muhammad 3 at that time. It could have been some folks that were actually on campus with him in the music department, I would imagine, that came together to play. But I've never known them to actually record. I know that they played at you know, auditoriums or ballrooms or clubs, whatever that may have been.
Right, right. Hmm. Okay, yeah. I always wondered, did they ever record anything? And, I contacted Brother Sylvester last night. I don't see his number. Number. Hopefully he'll call in before we close out, because he was the band leader, and but you all really gave me something to think about. I did not know that the brother was left handed.
and then
to see the way he played, you know, left handed, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I mean he had rhythm. No, he did have that, and it's like he never really lost it either. So, like Dr. Eileen said earlier about how music affected the brain, you know, that's powerful. All right. So
yeah, I do want to add though before we close that he really did love his native town of Houston. He was very proud of Houston. He was everything Houston. He even was getting on maybe when you guys beat us in the World Series a couple years ago in baseball, even although you guys did cheat. I had to remind him of that, but it came out a couple years later.
Right.
He was very proud of Houston, everything Houston. He was always comparing Houston to L.A. and how they have things here in Houston. I mean, it was funny listening to him. Which, you know, you sound like you're jealous of L.A. And he could not, and of course, I say things intentionally to him to set him off, because I knew what would set him off and get him going. So I would tell him that, and then, of course, he started ranting and raving about Houston. But he loved his hometown. He loved everything about it. I used to tease him and call him country, and y'all ride horses down the street. I would just mess with him just to get him going. And he would take off and
tell me
about the big city. He'd start telling me, look at the buildings over here. Look at this place over here. And he know the history about whatever we were looking at. And he was really, really into Houston and loved Houston so much.
you setting him out on purpose, up.
Yeah, it's the best one. And another thing, too, that I appreciate you, Brother Derek, having my sister and I on to talk about my brother's legacy. But he also, I just want to say that he really loved the mosque. And he loved Farrakhan, Louis Farrakhan.
Yes, sir.
I love Louis Farrakhan. As a matter of fact, I swear to God, Mitch tried to pattern himself after him. If you look at the way Mitch used to wear his hair with the part.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, his hair.
Yeah, I really felt that he tried to pattern himself after Louis Farrakhan. And then he did tell me that he was part of FOI. And I know he lived in Chicago for a little bit. So he really did love the faith, the culture of Islam. He really loved the nation. The brothers at the mosque. he was just really a huge fan and supported everything about the Nation of Islam. So I wanted to share that with you guys as Nation of Islam believers that Mitch was, you know, very much had you all's back. I couldn't say one thing bad about Islam or Nation of Islam. We'd be at it. So, and I won't say bad, but just in disagreement, and we be
right.
at it. And we were both fiery, and so that was something to be seen.
Right. And yeah, I bear witness, bro, because see, for a lot of us, like I said, we were young men when we came in Mars. I know I was. I came to the teachings when I was 19 from a cousin of mine who introduced it to me, and I joined the Mars back when I was 20. And I tell you, when I heard Brother Farrakhan, man, you know, Brother Farrakhan really put that spark of fire in a quite a deal of us, many of us, because, man, as a young man, I didn't really know how to take a stand out like that. And then to hear him speak the way he was, and then looking at Minister Abdul Halim, and then Brother Mitchell, and quite a bit of the brothers, Brother Marty and all of them, that some of the names that was mentioned today. I mean, I just felt a sincere brotherhood. So it was easy for me to join on. But, boy, I tell you, boy, that when you're talking about the Farrakhan factor, the Farrakhan factor is definitely a big point for quite a deal, big deal of us, especially those of us who came through at the time of the 80s. Because I know Brother Wiley was telling me something about Brother Farrakhan, he spoke at Forest Brook High School. Well, see, I graduated from out of Forest Brook, but I never heard of Minister Farrakhan until way into the mid-80s. That's when I heard him, but he was at Forest Brook speaking there in the auditorium. Never heard of him. So that was interesting.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure, and Sister Stacy, what about you? Before Brother Mitch, you mentioned going on to the Nation. Did you ever hear anything about the Nation or Minister Farrakhan?
Before, I mean, I just knew of, not a whole lot, you know, just knew of the Nation of Islam and Farrakhan.
Right. And the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. What about you, Brother Harris? That's interesting to see how people kind of come into the knowledge of the Nation.
Yeah, so I knew about Minister Louis Farrakhan. Of course, I knew about Malcolm X. But I didn't know, and I still don't know, the teachings, right? Because I've never studied Islam. I've never studied Nation of Islam. But I tell you what I do.
Right.
In my later years in my adult life is that I do watch a lot of content on Minister Louis Farrakhan. I agree with a lot of things that Minister Farrakhan says, and there's some things I don't, particularly when I would debate with my brother when I was in my late 20s or even early 20s. I remember he spoke at the forum in Inglewood, California, and I believe Mitch came out for that. And
right.
I told Mitch, you know, hey, I believe at the time, I believed in his economic principles and philosophy about supporting black businesses, about having your own business, being an entrepreneur. I believed in all that. And there were some other things I didn't necessarily believe in, because, you know, Minister Louis Farrakhan could be fire and brimstone as well. I think he's toned it down over the years, but, you know, in the 80s, he was real fire and brimstone. And so some of those things I didn't necessarily agree with. But, again, as I've come into my own as a man and experienced life, I have, you know, moved a little closer to some of the things that I did not used to agree with him on that I do agree with now. Maybe it's because it's a little bit softer, in my opinion, in his deliverance. But I do follow a lot of his content on YouTube.
Yes, sir.
All right, brothers and sisters, we winding down. We're at the last 10 seconds of the program. So I just want to say thank you to our guests for coming in, sharing, and definitely doing this for us, brothers and sisters, because like I said, we didn't, you know, when we got the message, it was really late, and then some of us got the message that of our brother passing right on the particular day. There we go. So I just want to close this out a little bit. Let me see if I can kind of delay it a little bit.
Yeah, well,
no, it's not going to let me delay it.